You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 48. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're just going to be talking about random stuff, like cards.
They're the masters of disguise, they're not to be outdone. The phaser they have pointed at you isn't set on stun, Section 31.
So, we haven't actually talked about the card game in a while.
What are you talking about? There's a whole new set that came out that we haven't talked about, and
yeah, so
cons that we went to set where we didn't play cards, and yeah.
So this is our fourth virtual set, right? We had two small ones and a big one. Or am I making that up?
No, that sounds right. Undiscovered Country, Favor of the Bold, Raise the Stakes was double.
Oh, right. Okay,
and Paradise.
So we talked before about. Raise the Stakes actually had a lot of cards that we, you know, used, whereas Favor the Bold and Undiscovered Country, not so much. Is that your assessment as well?
Well, yeah, bits and pieces, but there was not a plethora of things that overwhelmed me with usefulness.
So, this side of Paradise, we've got a tournament coming up. Have you built your deck yet?
I'd have. It is not, ironically, it's not this, it's not Paradise centric. It's actually Raise the Stakes centric. It was one of the cards that I kept wanting to use that I haven't got around to trying yet. And so I built a Bajoran deck based on the new Shakar with Bajoran 40 point missions and just trying to unstop and keep going. Since he doesn't have to do anything but sit there. And I threw in the couple of Bajorans that are in the new set, but I actually was just looking through it today thinking, man, we got a tournament coming up. I should see if any of these dilemmas are of any use and see about putting them in. But, I mean, if you look at the card list, being the theme that it is, you know, the personnel start at card 19 and go for the rest except for one ship. So it does not leave you with an overwhelming number of verbs left to choose from.
Sure. Well, I decided to play it. I'm giving away my strategy, I guess. I'm going to be playing a TOS deck. I was inspired by something that Brad had said at Worlds when he was playing TOS. And I pretty much threw in a copy of each of the new, because there are three 2OS cards. There was Whatley and Number One and Volaris. But mm-hmm. I think of all of them, I think Number One's probably going to get the most use, or it feels like it could have the biggest potential swing, just because, you know, moving your personnel, rescuing them from the brig has always been something that I've always worried about when making a deck. It doesn't happen very often, but if it does and your whole deck is built around one, you know, one or two personnel, it could be brutal.
That is true.
I really like the way the TOS have become, I guess, the police. They've got coordinated counterattack to stop people from gaining skills. They've got now Number One for rescuing people and smacking down, I guess, Cardassian and possibly Romulan decks. They've got a lot of interesting tools to keep other decks in check. And I like that a lot. And the last TOS deck I played against was a massive... Leonard McCoy, evil kill, you know, shotgun kill your people deck. Mm-hmm. It seemed to work pretty well. I think it could use a few updates. But I'm just looking forward to playing just a bunch of ships and a bunch of captains and a bunch of random cards. And I don't play adaptive decks very much. Most of my decks, I mean, even going back to 1E, are I've got this to do and this to do and this to do, and that's how I'm going to get from A to B, A, B, and C, and then I'm going to win. Whereas this feels like a very flexible, you know, if your opponent's playing this, well, this is your answer. If your opponent's playing that, you know, maybe I got a tool that can help out over here. Very different from what I usually play.
Yeah, that's a type of game that, I don't know, doesn't really appeal to me, mostly because there's so much work that makes it sound really bad. I'm less interested in paying attention to what you're doing and more interested in doing my own thing generally, which is ironic considering the number of interaction decks that I like to play. But it's one thing to have a ship ready to come attack you the second you get stopped at a space mission. It's a whole other thing to have to sit there and track skills or figure out how many people you've got with what and where and when I can play a card on you that'll stop you or whatever. That's a lot of card counting that I'm just not, I can't wrap my brain around. But I do know there are people who do enjoy that style of play. And if you can get away with it, I guess more power to you.
Well, what you say is the bane of my existence as well. I can't, as I said before, I can't remember what I've played, much less what my opponents played when I'm thinking about personnel. So something like Farseeing Eyes or, you know, Playing Dilemmas, I have a problem with that, really. but the way the TOS works, it seems a lot more adaptive and not specifically skill tracking or, you know, that, but it makes me feel like my deck is a little bit more flexible. Like if you're playing Borg, I can slap down McCoy and knock off the queen once, you know, as a way of getting rid of her. Mm-hmm. If you're playing, Franklin's five headquarters deck, I've got someone that'll make you discard every card in your deck, you know, that kind of thing. It makes me feel like I have a better chance against every deck instead of just, oh no, I know I've got a bad matchup. And if TK shows up with this Klingon deck, I'm going to be hosed because it's too fast. I feel like I've got a better chance against everything.
So you feel like you have an answer to other people's problems if necessary. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see how that would be.
Especially decks that are, you know, have a trick or, you know, kind of key off of something like capturing somebody or, you know, having a key personnel. If it's just a fast deck, well, you know, that's, you just got to be fast or have the answer to it. And, you know, if you're playing against Johnny, you just got to get lucky. Whatever.
I want to alter your chemistry, advancing your technology. Hello, computer. Hello, computer. Hello, computer. Hello, computer. Baby, can I ride your nuclear weapon? Baby, can I ride your nuclear weapon? Floor, or I will have to stun you. I want to mix up your molecules. I want to break all the rules. A keyboard, how quaint. A keyboard, how quaint. A keyboard, how quaint. A keyboard, how quaint.
Well, looking through the cards, I'm wondering if you are, in keeping with the TOS theme, there is Mudd's Women, which is taken from a concept from a TOS episode. I know that's something we talked a little bit about while we were looking through the cards early on. Is that something that you tried to throw in?
You're right. I like that it's TOS based, but I didn't put it in. It's not an event heavy deck, so I wasn't going to throw a lot of different random things in there. In fact, one of the things I tried to do was to keep it under 50 cards. I know, difficult, especially in this area, but one thing I'm going to try is a royal welcome, because there are a bunch of different random TOS people with just a bunch of different random skills, and I thought, maybe I get somebody I need. It's something different.
That'd be interesting. You never know.
I wanted to try this with an affiliation that perhaps not everyone knows all the personnel on, you know.
That is definitely one where the original series, especially the non-mains, they have so many random skills that it's hard to, and you don't have to worry about the acquisition intelligence law.
Because
they have so many other random skills. Even the people that you know, well, okay, they're going to have X, Y, and Z, but then they'll also have something else that is just, like, why do they have that? Oh, because there's not that many people in TOS and they needed to fill out the skill matrix.
Yeah. So I thought that would fit in very well. So we'll see how that goes.
That is a good one. I one thing I am looking forward to doing, and something I may do instead of my Bajoran deck, since I haven't really looked at it since I let somebody else borrow it and don't know how well it did, is raise the stakes. in keeping with the tradition of having a card title named after the previous set, would be a really interesting addition to my regional Klingon deck, which I was hoping to play at Gen Con sometime, but just never got around to it. I've kept it built for that purpose and was interested in trying it out that way, using my Klingon death machine with the 40-point missions to make it easier with Raise the Stakes, and just seeing if I could actually, since I'm already killing so many of your people with the Sabotage Transporters machine, if giving you the extra plus one attributes would really matter, and just use even easier missions for me to get past. I can use 35 point missions, use Raise the Stakes, and they're worth 40. I can get off my Enterprise J and other things that key off of 40 point missions and still use even less people because the mission is that much easier.
Yeah, I mean, you could throw in a 30 point mission and drop two of these things. I mean, you're downloading events left and right with everything, right?
I really am.
That would be very interesting to see someone drop three 30 point missions, turn them into 35, 40 point missions, and just walk through them with ridiculously strong Klingons or whatever.
That'd be hilarious. Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's non-unique, so you can do that. Drop multiple copies of it. I mean, you're paying the same cost. Their attributes plus two or plus three, you know, however many copies you have in play. Throw in a con offset that.
You know what would be awesome with this? Forget about con. Use those dilemmas like damage reputation.
Or all your people are minus one. Oh,
no, no. The damage reputation, if you have
oh,
too
yes.
much.
Oh, my God. Not damage reputation. I was thinking of,
if you have too much of a certain attribute, you lose 5 points. You're getting 5 points, and you're taking 5 points away from your opponents every time you play one.
Unfortunately, there's not any real personnel help on the Klingon side, but I think that'd totally be worth it. Oh, you know what? I'm totally lying. There is a huge personnel help for this. It's just not Klingon. It's in the non-line section.
What's that?
Because what would be more useful for my event downloading and personnel cost 4 discarding deck than Arandis?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, get anything you want. Right, brilliant.
Yeah. Did I not draw my Guidance of the Council or my Alexander Kemptar yet? Oh, hey, look, it's Arandis. Oh, hey, I already have everything I need. I don't need Arandis to download anything. I guess I'll discard her and sabotage your transporters. It's, yeah, just a completely universally useful card in that deck.
And I'm wondering, you know, going forward, how many decks that use like that, you know, a magic card will start including Arandis, so that everyone says, well, if I'm going to download anything I want, I might as well put one copy of this in instead of, you know, maybe two of certain things. It'll change our meta around here.
In the beginning, yeah, they came to me.
If you're a tournament director and a league director for any leagues in the World Championship Trek League, you can order a league kit. It's available now. This is the kit A, and it comes with 2 Ashara Yar Deceitful Soldier foils and 8 Ashara Yar Deceitful Soldier promo cards that are not foils. So 8 participation prizes and 2 foils, one for the director and one for first place, or if it's your second kit, 2, 1 for a random player and 1 for the first place player. It's for whatever you want. They're cheap. They're only $4 domestic and $6 international. Doesn't come with any other promos, no other, you know, skill badges or anything, which is good because we're out of skill badges right now. But you can order it right now and get them for your league events. If you're not a league director, I'll be canceling your order, so don't bother. But Yeah. These are specifically made for League events. These are gameplay exclusive cards just for the League. You can use them in League events. So you can use the Shara starting as soon as you get it in a League event. And then after, I think it's after the League ends, they'll be available for download online, and everyone can use them in any tournaments for regionals or whatever you want. But until the end of the League season, these are League-only cards.
So you can only play them in the League?
That's the only place you can get them, unless you, you know, trade for them. But they're only going to be legal in League events. Okay. So if you're just going to a tournament somewhere and they don't have a League there and it's not a League event, then you should leave your Asharas at home because they won't be legal in that event. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We talked about them not being legal until, you know, the season is over, but that's kind of silly. So we'll have them legal in the League events. I think that's great.
That's cool. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And the deceitful, the Shara Yar foil is an AP.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what this game needs, more APs.
Exactly. So go out and get some of those. It supports the continuing committee. It'll support your play group and support the leagues. That is all the intelligence we have this week for you. I'd like to thank our producer, Matt, and the musical suppliers, Warp 11. Once again, I am Sir Dan.
And I am Sir Rogue.
And go out and expand your power of the universe.
All right, and I'm going to take Naomi Wildman and Admiral Janeway and all the rest of my future Voyager crew. We're going to head out to destroy Transwarp Hub. And I have all these skills and a total attributes of cunning greater than 48 to end.